This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Having an urge, a thought, maybe to leave us a message? Hey, man, do it. Go with it. 1-866-509-4545 is the number. 1-866-509-4545. Mention what show it's for and that it's okay to play your message on air. And if we can, we certainly will do it. Always love hearing from you. Feedback at AMI.ca if you just want to pop an email over and ask some questions about AMI TV, AMI Tele, or over here at AMI Audio. And on Twitter, you can follow along, see what's happening with the shows as we are on air live, or just what's happening at AMI Audio. And that's at AMI Audio. Ram Yamuth and Kelly McDonald, we're the hosts of the show. Thanks for being with us as we're swinging open the gateway to your weekend. We welcome in Jeff Ryman. He's here on Fridays at this time to talk lifestyle headlines.
From fashion to travel, pets and more, we cover it all on the Lifestyle Report with me, Jeff Ryman.
Happy Fridays, Jeffrey. Thanks for being with us.
Happy Friday. Yeah, no problem, guys.
Sir, where are we starting?
Yeah, so this article, and kind of topical on the show today, has to do with travel. Now, I know in segment 4, so in about half an hour, we'll be talking to Adrian from vacay.ca about some of the top travel destinations within our country, within our beautiful country, I should say. You know, once the pandemic starts to ease just a little bit, I mean, probably a little bit later now than expected, but he'll come on to talk to us about that. But I found another really interesting sort of study survey by Expedia, and it has to do with the ranking of Canada's friendliest cities and towns of 2021. So kind of amongst the same topic, but kind of different at the same time. And I've noticed a sneak little piece preview here is some of the towns do cross over between the top travel destinations and the top friendliest cities. So just keep that in mind as well as we go throughout the show. But I guess, you know, a lot of people are asking the question, like, how did people pick these specific cities, these specific towns as deemed the friendliest? Maybe there was an outstanding dinner recommendation. That always is good. Whenever there's good food, I feel like there's always usually a friendly atmosphere not too far away, or you greeted with smiles or hellos, you know, even under the masks of 2021 with the pandemic. What was the overall energy like? Was it feel good? There might have been some random acts of friendliness and kindness throughout these cities, you know, so I think it's just an overall collection of how people felt about these specific towns and cities within Canada. And let's face it, Canada, we're just happy people here. So not surprising one bit. And there's probably a lot of cities and towns that did not make this list. Mind you, this is the top 20. I don't even know if I'll get through all 20. But it is kind of fun just to dive into these types of things to see where those friendly faces and voices may be. So the number one on the list is Radium Hot Springs in British Columbia. And apparently it's a perfect spot to experience the great outdoors. And for those that enjoy hiking, there are many trails to explore in that area. Of course, lots of friendly figures out in that realm of the woods. So BC seems to be a pretty hot spot on both this list and the list I'm sure Adrian will get to as well. So just keep that in mind. Digby, Nova Scotia, love that name. Apparently, they've got great food. They've got great food out in Digby, Nova Scotia. Never have made it out to Nova Scotia. It's definitely on my bucket list. But in terms of friendliness, you know, East Coasters, they just know how to do it differently. And you know, I think, you know, whenever you can incorporate food into some things, it just puts people in a good mood in general anyways. Number three on the list, Niagara-on-the-Lake here in Ontario. I think, you know, there's a lot of friendly vibes going on. I've been there before. I think you guys probably have as well.
Yeah,
it's quite times. The town. Lots of wineries, of course. Of course, there's Niagara Falls. So
Shaw Festival. It is, that's what the schools. I remember in school they take you there. I've done some shooting of Blindsided there, and just pieces for ATW.
Yeah, it's quite a beautiful area to get to. Baddeck, Nova Scotia, another East Coast city on here on the Cape Breton Island. So another Nova Scotia city, town being on this list. Again, no surprise. Drumheller, Alberta, apparently the dinosaur capital of the world. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's where the digs are, right? You've got, I believe out there, that's where you can go, and there's a bunch of open area where fossils have been found.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That sounds like a pretty cool place to bring your little ones. And of course, I mean, who doesn't like to see dinosaurs from time to time? So the dinosaur capital of the world.
Or at least the dinosaur graveyard.
St. John, New Brunswick. Picturesque views. Again, East Coast. Beautiful place. Would love to go there one day. Is number six. Gatineau, Quebec. One of the most beautiful historic landscapes in the Western Quebec City that neighbors Ottawa, close to many trails. So that's number seven on the list.
Yeah, Thunder that's what Bay. Karen McGee was talking about the other day, right, Rum? We were on the show. She was talking about the areas, the trails, just the whole view over there. And again, a nice area to go to, so close to Ottawa and our capital region. So really nice to see that.
Just get active and do a whole bunch of things. It sounded so diverse,
It does. Mm-hmm.
Thunder Bay is on the list at number eight. Tons of adventures basically all year long. You can go fishing basically anytime in the fall and in the spring and summer. Ice fishing in the winter. Tons of outdoor activities at number eight on the list. Number nine, this one's really no surprise, Banff, Alberta. Again, one of the most picturesque places you can probably get to, not only in Canada, but throughout the entire world. You can go through a nice guided walking
bunch
tour.
Of the film people go there. They have the big film fest where so many industry people gather. Really popular. Yep. Because you can do so much too. Within, you can golf in the morning or vice versa and go skiing. Like it's so crazy.
Yeah, and I'll just finish with this one. Number 10 on the list: Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, PEI. Again, another place that's on my bucket list. Heard it's beautiful. People sound very, very friendly. Great food, I hear as well. Definitely want to get out to PEI sooner rather than later. So just keep some of these in mind. And there's 10 more on this list. I'll put it up on the blog. So if you guys want to go check that list. Out.
When you really think about it, there's so many cool things. Even down to Thunder Bay, we've had Doug McQuaker on here talking about different things going on there. And all I've heard is things like even going to school, going to Lakehead there. It's a beautiful campus.
Yeah. Sounds very. And again, these are just the top 10 for this year of the friendliest cities. I think, you know, the majority of cities and towns within Canada could be, you know, on this list for various reasons, between food, between having friendly people, between having some great views and all that stuff. I think every place is almost deserving to be within this list. But I just thought that'd be kind of a fun way to kick off the segment, kind of a little bit of a lifestyle travel piece that I came across and sort of warms us up for what we can expect in segment four with Adrian. This next article that I have, I was kind of saving it for health, but I thought it was almost a cross between health and lifestyle anyways, because apparently this is from CNN.com off of their health section, and apparently children's healthiest meals of the day come from school cafeterias. Mind you, this is something in the States where I feel like this may be a little bit bigger. I know specifically, and just from my personal experience and people that I know, there wasn't, you know, typical lunch programs at the schools that I've been to here in Southern Ontario that could be totally different anywhere you go. But I know in the States, it's a pretty big deal. But researchers analyzed the diets of over 21,000 children and 40,000 adults between 2003 and 2018 and found that the percentage of poor nutritional quality foods consumed from schools actually declined quite substantially from 55% to 24% over a 15-year period. That was published on Monday from JAMA Network, or JAMA Network Open. So very interesting study that they dove into. The decrease mainly occurred after 2010, which is when the Healthy Hungry Free Kids Act was passed. Yep. This was in the United States, but I know they've done something similar here in Canada since then. Because I recall in high school at the cafeteria, instead of, say, having deep fried French fries, they would start baking them. Or instead of having chicken nuggets that they would throw in the fryer, they would put them in the oven. So I know something similar has come up here north of the border as well. So I'd expect that some of this carries over here into Canada. But, you know, just hearing that headline that the kids' healthiest meals come from school cafeterias, I guess it's kind of good because that means the schools have been implementing more of a healthy diet for our kids. But at the same time, what does that say for parents, you know, and just the kids' lifestyles outside of school? Kind of worrisome on that end. So well, I don't know if this is good or bad.
And that's what they talked about, especially with when the determination of schools closing and things like that during the pandemic, because they were the healthiest meals or full balanced meals. A lot of people, due to economic concerns in households and food issues, this was where they were getting a lot of their great meals. I think back to the meals that we could buy in high school and stuff like that. Good grief. I'm not even going to get into that because that'll take us back to the bones in Alberta. It really, back in that day, the quality was terrible. And when you think about this problem, when people are saying, well, kids, we can't have them in school and all that, and some people, families saying, well, man, what am I going to feed them? Where am I getting the money and to give them something healthy?
Go ahead, Rem.
I was just going to say, I think that this is something that's been kind of up and downish when it comes to nutrition at school, regardless of where. But, you know, in North America, just that there's a budget-friendly option. There's what people are used to in terms of culturally, you know, how much we're taking in. And I think that there has to be maybe something more, like when we're talking about fitness and how much daily physical activity, I think that's what they were calling it, people at school were getting. Something like that, where there's a bit of a standard on what goes on and what people get to eat when they're at school.
Yeah. And I think just the lifestyle and everything that goes into being at school, the schools, especially here, you know, just recalling my personal experiences, you're right. The daily fitness that I think, or daily physical activity, DPA, as we called it, you know, you'd have that in partner with recess and, of course, phys ed. You would always have to do that. Pair that with some good nutritional value, and it's probably a recipe for success. But just the lifestyles, and like you mentioned, Kelly, just the economic side of things, healthy food is quite expensive. And I'm sure we've touched on this before, probably with Julia, is that, you know, a $1 cheeseburger at McDonald's, you know, obviously tastes great, but the nutrition probably isn't there. $1, I don't know what that could necessarily buy you healthy wise at a grocery store, maybe some fruits and vegetables at most. But, you know, with rising produce numbers, it's just kind of hard for a lot of families.
Yeah. And people they'd rather eat that cheeseburger. It just depends how many days a week you can do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeffy. That's some great stuff there. And it really gives you something to think about, especially that last one. Well, both, because now I'm dreaming about, some of those nice places. Let's go look for dinosaur bones. But really cool to see what was on that list. And amazing. Thank you. Jeff Ryman will return to the program a little later on when we do our Cut for Time segment. But he joins us on Fridays for Lifestyle. Wednesdays, he's back to talk health headlines right here on Kelly and Company. We'll take a break. And in a moment, John Beeler, he joins us for our app update. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.